You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be sure to tell your friends about us. Well, as you all know, I've been in Washington a long time, and there's no reason to get specific on the number of years. I've served both in government and out of government. I've seen presidents that start out slow and governments that start out kind of fast. I've seen presidents that fail and presidents that have been extraordinary successes. But I have never seen a president of the United States operate the way Donald Trump has in this beginning of his second term. It has been absolutely amazing. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that he has done more in these opening weeks. We're going on 1 month now. He's done more in that 1 month than in many ways the previous administration did in a whole year. Now, look, the battle rages on. A lot of the things the president's done are being challenged by leftist judges. Many of these decisions will go all the way to the Supreme Court. But I wanted to talk to you today about what I've seen here in Washington and the actions the president has taken, because I think that, in my view, not only should most Americans be really happy, but if you're a Christian and you believe in what our faith teaches us about family, about life and death, about love and sex, about freedom and the nature of it and where it comes from, you ought to be ecstatic about what President Trump and Vice President Vance and now increasingly their confirmed cabinet secretaries are doing in the public policy arena. And I want to start with the area that I think is kind of obvious, and there shouldn't be much controversy about it, as far as it being an area that Christians should be united in seeing advance, and that is the sanctity of life. I mean, we worship a God that said, I set before you life and death, so choose life so that you and your children may prosper. And you know, James Dobson has devoted a good bit of his life and written in his many, many books the case for the sanctity of life. I have argued for that issue and the importance of it. And it has been a brutal battle because back in the 1970s, we had a Supreme Court go off the rails in the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that claimed to find in our Constitution a right to abort an innocent unborn child. We all know that was a fiction. You can read the Constitution from its very first word to its very last word, and you will find the word abortion nowhere to be found, nor will you find any provision of the Constitution that would suggest that our wise founding fathers, all godly men, would have felt the words they were writing somehow permitted the taking of innocent human life. But the Supreme Court made that decision in 1973, and it took a long, long time to reverse it. But it was reversed because of something that Donald Trump did, not in this term, but in his first presidential term. Now, you'll remember a lot of pro-life people, a lot of Christian leaders weren't quite sure whether Donald Trump was pro-life or not. And many of them held back their support for him in that first term because of the concern that he was not pro-life. But Donald Trump made it absolutely clear. In fact, he did something no previous Republican presidential candidate had done. He publicly promised if he was elected, he would appoint justices that he believed were pro-life and that he believed would overturn Roe versus Wade. And that's exactly what he did. After brutal battles in the United States Senate, he appointed three such Supreme Court justices. They were all put on the court, and they became part of the majority that overturned Roe. Now, I'm not one of those that carpet Donald Trump because he's got different strategies about what we do next. In my view, he could retire right now on this issue, and I think we would still owe him a lifetime of gratitude. He got Roe versus Wade erased from the books. We are no longer teaching our children generation after generation that somewhere in our sacred founding documents, there is this previously undiscovered right to abortion. All that's been ended by him. But when Donald Trump won re-election to a second term, he didn't go AWOL. He hasn't abandoned the issue. He continues to do pro-life things, and he did many of them in this first month. Now, I'm just going to mention a couple because it would take hours to go through all of them. The first thing that President Trump did, let me remind you about this, under Biden and Harris, a number of Christian pro-life demonstrators who demonstrated at some abortion clinics peacefully, they didn't assault anyone, there wasn't any violence. These demonstrators merely prayed or sang hymns. They were prosecuted by President Biden, by his Justice Department, and they were sentenced to prison for these nonviolent demonstrations. Donald Trump came into office, and he immediately pardoned those pro-life activists. He literally got them released from prison. Many of them were already in jail. They were doing hard time. Some of these demonstrators, these Christian demonstrators, pro-life demonstrators, were in their 70s, and yet they were thrown into prison. And Donald Trump signed an order and got them out. That is amazing. I don't know many presidents, even good presidents, that would have done that. Right now, the White House has been directed by the president to work with the Congress to get a law passed that will ensure that if a baby survives a botched abortion, that that baby at that point has a legal right to appropriate medical care to save their lives. I believe it's possible that legislation will get through Congress, even though it appears every Democrat in the House of Representatives and the United States Senate opposes the legislation. Did you know that before Donald Trump took office in this second term, that the Pentagon and our beloved military had gotten into the abortion business? That's right. President Biden and Kamala Harris directed the Pentagon to start paying the travel expenses for female members of our military who were pregnant and wanted to get the baby aborted, but they were stationed in states that had pro-life laws. So suddenly, money from the Pentagon was being used to pay the travel expenses of that military member to a pro-abortion state where she could get an abortion with you paying the travel costs. In the first week he was in office, President Trump said, stop that right now. No more taxpayer dollars from the Pentagon budget will pay for travel expenses for people that intend to abort an innocent baby. President Trump withdrew the United States from the World Health Organization, which is known as WHO. Now, you know, if you've been listening, you know that WHO has a lot of problems. Our colleague, Michelle Bachmann, and I have talked about this on air many, many times. There's corruption at WHO. The Communist government of China is a major funder of WHO. And that tells you a lot of what you need to know about the dangers of this organization. So Trump got us out of WHO for a variety of reasons. But one of them was that WHO promotes abortion on demand all over the world. They call it a human right. It is not a human right. It's a human wrong. President Trump understands that, and he got us out of it, and he's withdrawing our funding from it. Well, There are many other pro-life things he's done, but for the interest of time, let me mention one more. You know, it's important on the life battle not just to pass new laws and regulations. It's important to win the debate, to speak about the issue. And just a few days after President Trump and Vice President Vance were inaugurated and took the oath of office, Right to Life demonstrators came to Washington, D.C. for the annual Right to Life March. And at that march, President Trump spoke via video. He had some travel due on that day, so he sent a video. And in the video, he reiterated his commitment to the sanctity of life, and he reinstated a regulation called the Hyde Amendment. If you're active in the pro-life movement, you know what that is. That was an amendment passed many years ago that said the taxpayer should not be made to subsidize or in any way pay for abortions. That's been the law for a long time. But unfortunately, Biden and Harris basically started ignoring the law. And so Trump, in the speech to the pro-life march, announced that he was reinstating the Hyde Amendment. But you know, in some ways, and I don't mean this as any insult to President Trump at all, the more important speech at this year's Right to Life March might have been Vice President Vance's speech. President Trump sent Vance to speak in person to the tens of thousands of young pro-life demonstrators that were here in Washington, D.C. Vance made the case for the sanctity of life, but he did something in its own way in the long term may be more important. He looked out at this young audience and he said, look, I want to tell you that if you're seeking happiness in life, find somebody to love and somebody that loves you, get married, and bring children into the world, bring babies into the world. This is good for you, and it's also good for America, he said. You will be blessed by marriage. You will be blessed by having children. And he went on to say that President Trump and he, the vice president, intend to build an economy that is strong and vibrant, where men and women can earn living wages that will make it easier for them to get married and bring children into the world. To have a pro-life administration that just doesn't deal with legislation and regulations, but talks to the American people, particularly young Americans, and urges them and defends marriage, urges them to get married, and urges them to have children, is a wonderful thing to see happen. The second issue that I think all Christians should be applauding, and any sensible American should be applauding, is the way that Donald Trump's administration has taken on transgender ideology. This ideology sprang out of nowhere, it seemed, has gained in strength and power in recent years. Donald Trump did something very important. He made it a campaign issue. He brought it up intentionally. He didn't do what we've seen Republicans do so many times in the past on an issue that's involved with morals or values. Oh, yes, they would say if they were asked a question, I'm pro-life, or no, I don't agree with the transgender issue. No, that's not what Donald Trump did. He brought it up in every speech. And he said later he was actually surprised that when he brought up the transgender issue and the insanity of it and how it was a danger to our children, it actually got some of the greatest applause of any other issue that he brought up. So when Donald Trump won the election, and there's polling data that shows he may very well have won because in a major way that the transgender issue, the polling shows that a lot of independent voters told pollsters that it was this very issue that led them to vote for Trump. Even some Democrats told pollsters that one of the reasons they left their traditional loyalty to the Democrat Party was because of this transgender insanity. President Trump's taken office, and in his first month, he's issued an executive order directing that the U.S. government would only recognize two genders, male and female. Now, I might have to whisper this because I don't want to insult President Trump. He was really excited about this executive order. But as you and I know, the first executive order on this issue was issued by God in the Garden of Eden. It was God who says in the Bible that he created them male and female. And if all the way back in the Garden of Eden, there had been genetic tests that you could take, those genetic tests would show exactly what they show today, that men and women have unique chromosomes that make them men and women. So in this particular case, Donald Trump was only recognizing what God already told us, but the fact that Trump issued the executive order was important nonetheless, because we live in a time where the Bible is not taken as a source of authority by millions of people in our country, unfortunately. And so Donald Trump was making an important statement when he said, our government will only recognize that the human race is divided into men and women. Trump has issued a variety of other executive orders. They're all going to probably be challenged in court. I believe they will make it eventually to the Supreme Court. I'm optimistic they will be upheld. But among them, he has ordered a cutoff of federal funding to schools that are promoting transgender ideology. He issued an executive order banning men from women's sports. A tip of the hat to Riley Gaines, the University of Kentucky swimmer that took on this issue because she believed God laid it on her heart to do so. She's been threatened. She's been attacked on university campuses. She's had to travel with personal security merely for saying there are men and women and that men should not be allowed to unfairly compete against women in athletic competitions. Donald Trump has ordered that to be stopped, and he's telling schools, if you don't stop it, I will withdraw, he said, your subsidies from the government. It's not just a transgender issue, but this administration is taking on the more broad LGBTQ movement. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has ordered that U.S. embassies will only fly the American flag outside the embassy. No more rainbow flags during Pride Week, only the American flag. Other federal programs have been told to stop subsidizing the LGBTQ movement. And as the media has reported in recent weeks, at the USAID, this agency that is part of the State Department, we have discovered, or Elon Musk has discovered, has been sending tens of millions of dollars to promote transgender events abroad, to provide subsidies for drag queen shows, not only here, but in other countries. This is nonsense. It's abuse of your tax dollars. And in these opening weeks, Donald Trump has ended that. And we'll see how the battle goes in the months ahead. So today we've talked about the sanctity of life and about the demands of the LGBT movement and the transgender ideology. And we've covered, I think, pretty completely what Donald Trump in just 1 month has done on both of those issues. I think among Christians, the overwhelming majority of us are going to be very happy about this. And we see these as moral issues. When we get together the next time, I want to discuss with you some issues in which there's some moral confusion. Or maybe some Christians don't particularly see them as something that has a biblical basis. I'm speaking about things like the effort in Washington, D.C. right now to stop fraud and waste in the federal government, or the incredible things the administration's doing to secure our borders. Or how about this? The effort being made by the president and vice president to increase patriotism. There are actually some who describe themselves as Christians that argue that patriotism is bad. I disagree, and I'm going to take that on the next time we're together and commend what Donald Trump is doing in all three of these areas. Thank you for being with us this week on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, and I look forward to being with you again.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.